Luke 15, 11. And it's about the prodigal son. So if I ask you who already heard this message, then everybody's going to raise their hand. And who? Because I've heard many times messages using Luke 15, 11, the prodigal son. But God put in my heart, so what can I do? If he wants to share through this word, to this message, to this scripture, I'm going to obey him. And I was reading, studying, listening, and reading again, and praying. And I said, wow, so many good things. Actually, it's one of my favorite story parable in the Bible. Because every time I read that story, I see the love of God. I see the love of God. I see myself in a position that I really need to be in his presence. There's nothing out of his presence. There's nothing. So every time I read, every time I hear a message, you know, even if the people sometimes go, oh, he's ministry to the Jews, Jewish, for the Jews. Jewish is? Jews, yeah. He's ministering for them. He's talking about at the end of times. He's talking about, you know, he's ministering to me. He was ministering to me whole week. And I believe it's a good story, but it's something that can change our lives because we see the love of God in this story, okay? And I really want to share. Leo, do you have this description, NLT? Okay, so show us. Okay. Amen. I'm asking him to show us because it's a New Living Translation, and most of you don't have that translation. And you can also follow through the screen. Okay, so to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man, because so hungry that even the pots he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything until this point. Then we can talk a little bit about this. Because this is we have three people in this story. We have the father and the two sons. And I started meditating about the son. And it's weird because he was asking for his money. But the dad was not dead. The father was not dead. And usually we receive something when our father dies and we receive something from him. But he was asking now. He was asking for his money, his share. And then something came to my heart because he felt like self-sufficiency. Like he felt like if I get my money, which was his father's money, but if I get my money, I can do whatever I want to do. And because that word came to my heart, self-sufficiency, and I said, wow. And I was looking for what that means is the quality or condition of being self-sufficient. And that young fellow, that young guy, he felt like, you know, I'm self-sufficient. I can do all things. We are singing it. I can do all things. But the difference we sing through Christ. And he was thinking, you know, I can do all things. If my dad, my father give to me, I can do. I can, because I think he didn't realize he had everything with his dad. He was there. He was living with his dad. All the money, all the properties, all the everything was belonged to him as well. And he felt like self-sufficiency. And that's very important because sometimes people feel like that. I can do. I can have control of this situation. I can deal with this money. I know what I'm doing. But sometimes we don't. And he was so self thinking that he could do everything and said, I want my money and I want now. And sometimes I think he was in his mind was like this. You know, my dad doesn't know much. He's an old guy. I see when not only teenagers, but young people, they start growing up. They grow up and they think the old people don't know anything. No, they don't know. They're old thoughts. Maybe we don't know much about iPads, about iPhones, about this or about that, technology. No, I'm not following that technology too close. But we know a lot. But I believe this guy will think, oh, my dad doesn't know too much. I know. I'm self-sufficient. I know what I'm doing. I want my money and what I'm going to do what's right. What I think is right. Okay? And the verse 13 says, he got the money and he packed his belongings and he moved to a distant land. We can also read this scripture thinking about two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the world. And he felt like, you know, now I have the money. Now I have the control. Because one thing he found, he said, oh yes, I have everything because my dad has everything. Okay, maybe he felt like that. But he didn't have the control of the situation. Because the money belongs to his dad. The house belongs to his dad. The kingdom belongs to his dad. Everything belongs to his dad. His father. And I think that made him think like, you know, I don't have control of anything. And his eyes was in the world. He was looking around. He was in his kingdom, in his house, looking outside. His heart was there. His eyes was there. And he said, no, here with my father, I don't have control of anything. Because it was father's rules, father's decrees, father's money, father's everything. And sometimes people think like that. So, you know, yeah. And they think like, no, God has so many rules. There's so many rules. I can't. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. It's too hard. And I see people in the church, or I see people in the kingdom, I see Christians with their eyes in the world because it's more colorful, it's bright, looks beautiful because the devil wants you to see like that. It's like that little fly and see the light. It's, woo, that's beautiful, shining, bright light. And when it gets there, bzz, and dies. And another, the light, flying, beautiful, wow, and bzz, dead. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I was hearing a story that in one city, so the garbage, the guys working with the garbage, getting the garbage, every day they got a strike and it wasn't working. They weren't working anymore. And everybody was keeping the garbage inside of the house. But that family had so much garbage. And he couldn't, oh, what can I do with this? I cannot deal with garbage anymore. My house is full of garbage. And he got an awesome idea. And he put that garbage inside of boxes and in plastic bags and put like a stripe and beautiful thing, and like a beautiful, wonderful gift. And he filled his car with garbage, but was inside of beautiful boxes and bags. And he left the car somewhere, opened the car, and left. And people start walking around and say, wow, it's open. Look that. It's beautiful. Oh, there's something really nice inside. And people start stealing that because it was really nice. Then when the car was empty, he just took the car back home and done. He was, and people got home and they opened that box and opened that bag and it was like just garbage inside. What side was so beautiful, but inside was garbage. And I believe this is the way that the world wants to show things for us. That's why people in the church with their eyes out of the church. There's a scripture. You know, the scripture, actually, God was spoke, he spoke through the prophet Isaiah, but Jesus repeated that scripture, which is in Matthew 15, 8. Matthew 15, 8 and 9 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." So his eyes was outside. His eyes was in those beautiful outside, beautiful gifts. But inside, you know, when people go to world, when they get, when they leave their father, when they leave God, when they leave and to live outside, because the Bible says he left the presence of his father. He packed everything, got his money, his pride, his self-sufficiency, and said, I can do by myself. I don't need to follow your rules. I don't need to follow your commands. I don't need to follow you. I'm going to do by myself. Like Bryce always remembers, like, I'll do my way. The music, the song. Frank Sinatra. Yeah. I'm my way. And he said, yeah, I'm going to do my way. And he left the presence of the Father. That's so terrible. Because there's no better place. And we are seeing it. We belong to that presence. We belong to him. We belong to God. And then in his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of everything you need. Protection. And some people say, you know, but if you see that father as God, how God could allow that guy suffer that much? Hungry, starving. He wasn't in God's presence. He made a choice. He has a free will. And he said, Lord, Father, I don't want to be with you. I will be out of your presence, away from your presence. I'm going to do my way. And he made the choice. It's a dangerous choice. Dangerous choice. So, you know, if you think like, yes, oh no, I, this scripture is so strong because it shows us that even when people are in the presence of God, when people, they are saved, they are Christians, they are members of the church, or they, you know, they read the scripture, they can also have their eyes in the world. So, but that's why when we are in the presence of God, we have to keep our eyes in Him. In Him. It's dangerous. You maybe are, you are thinking us, no, I don't agree with that. But you know, yeah, sometimes we think about doing things that's not right. Oh, because I saw it. Oh, yeah, that's good. I like it. Or I don't know, whatever God is putting in our heart. But sometimes we think we do wrong things. We make wrong decisions. And this guy made wrong decisions. And that's dangerous. Church, if we are in God's presence, if we belong to God, let's keep our eyes on Him. anything that the world is offering to us is good. Anything. Anything. And the Lord is reminding us. The Lord is calling His church to be closer to Him. It's getting dangerous, more dangerous outside. The message everywhere you go, the message you hear online, you know, always talking about that God is bringing His people back to Him. He's saying there's no life there. There's no joy. Oh, yes, there is. But it's a fake joy. It's for a moment, for a few moments. In Hebrews 11, 24, it's a good example of what a man of God without the Holy Spirit inside of him. It was Moses. In Hebrews 11, 24, he's talking about Moses. He made a decision. I don't want the riches or the wealth of this kingdom, the Egyptian kingdom. I want from the things from the Lord. Let me read this better. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. 26 says, He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. He was looking ahead. He was focusing in the right person, which is God. He was with his eyes not in the world, but his eyes was in God. And he refused, like Daniel refused the food they offered, the kingdom the world offered to him. And so Moses refused. It is possible to refuse. It is possible to say no for beautiful packages or boxes or gift boxes or whatever. It's possible to say no. If it doesn't come from the Lord, say no. It is possible. And then Psalm 16, 11 says, You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So we are filled with joy. Psalm 16, 11. Leo, can you show the scripture? Okay, good. He will feel, actually, we have the joy of the Lord inside of us. And something important is, Moses was looking ahead to his great reward. And this Psalms 16, 11 talks, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So in God, we have eternal pleasure. It's not for just one moment. That's why I say it's a fake joy. People get drunk, they go somewhere, they get drunk, and then it's awesome. I have joy. I'm rejoicing. Woohoo! This is good. I'm drinking and everything. So you know, the next day they will see the result. Headache, sickness and disease, marriage problem. What else? Maybe car crashed. Empty, yeah. No money anymore. The next day, they will see, I had joy for a couple of hours. And it wasn't from here. It was from something else. Last week, I got drunk. I'm talking about now. I'm telling you. Bryce, too. I wasn't alone. Luis, Boris, who else? Who else? Michael. Yeah, we got drunk. We got drunk. The joy was there. We are actually, the vision was kind of swimming with the waves of the Spirit. And I don't know, we were in the middle. Then when I opened my eyes, we were close to the sound table. But laughing, rejoicing, drunk. One was holding another one. So the joy came from inside. And then the next day, We were happy, no headaches. No, we are energized, actually. And I saw money in my pocket. Was there. Money. And in provision, everything was there. I drove my car safely, and everybody got home with their wives. And then we actually was the opposite. We got drunk in spirit, and then the result was, I was like, no. Loving them more, loving my wife, loving you, loving everybody. Because when you get drunk in the spirit, when you have the joy of the Lord, we have the love of God is in us. So we start saying, oh, thank God. We start praising and worshiping the Lord. So that's the good thing. That's eternal. That's going to give us more and more every day. That's the real joy, church. This guy thought he could find joy in the world. Probably because he wasn't... No? Able to do what God was asking him to do. Father. If I keep reading, I know where I stopped. You know? God is good. I believe the greatest mistake that guy made, the greatest mistake, actually he took the authority from his father's hand. Not authority. He has taken the control of his father's hand. He said, Father, I don't need you anymore. God, or Father, was controlling his life. Yes, rules and everything. As Christians, we need to understand we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. His rules, church. His rules, His commands, His words. But He's not a bad God. He's a good God. Everything He wants is good for us. But when you don't allow Him to control your life anymore, so now I'm going to control my life, myself. It's dangerous. It's the beginning of start going downhill. Fail. He took the control of his father's hand because he left. So the father was here, he was there in the world. Wasn't controlling or protecting or, you know, providing for him anymore. That's dangerous. His great mistakes. And people usually do that. I don't need you, Father, anymore. I don't need you, Mom, anymore. I can do my way. I can do the way I want. You know, I know Emily and Lee will get married. They will have their house rules. They know that. They come home. Patricia said, this is my house. This is my rules. Go and wash the dishes. This is the way. But you know, they will have their house and then God will work with them. I understand. But in the kingdom of God, if we are with God, we obey God. Amen. So, 13. I'm Luke 15, verse 13. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. Now, I'll keep reading. And there he wasted all his money in a wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine. I read that before. Yeah. It swept over the land, and he began to starve. 15. He persuaded a local farmer. I read it. I'll jump a little bit. 17. Because you know his situation now. He's supposed to feed the pigs. Give food for the pigs. Can you imagine when the guy looked at the pig's food and say, ooh, that's good. That's it. He was desperate. He was starving, actually. He was in a really tough situation. And one thing it shows me, he was spending his money, and in the world, in the beginning, everything is good. Actually, if you get a lot of money and go and live your life the way you want to live, it's going to be fun in the beginning. You will get a lot of friends. I'm sure about that. a lot of friends. But when your money start running down and then no money anymore, no, it's not a real friendship. It's not real friends. It's not real love. He was alone now. He spent all his money. Now he's hungry. Now it's and thinking that the food, the pig's food is good. He was desperate, desperate. And one thing I see in this, in his father's kingdom, the scripture doesn't talk about the fame actually in the father's house too. Doesn't talk about lack of anything. Because in the kingdom of God, in the presence of the Father, we'll never have lack of anything. Famine or needs or whatever. No, in His presence, we have everything we need. Provision. We have all the provision. And then 17 says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servant have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. No, actually he started examining the reality of his situation. Now is the opposite, church. He was in, with his father, with his eyes in the world. Self-sufficiency. I can do whatever I want to do. I don't want to follow rules. I don't want this. I can do it by myself. Now he's in that situation and he's looking the opposite side. Now he's looking the kingdom. Now he's looking his father's home. Now he's thinking, meditating, and he said, I made a mistake. He finally came to his senses. He was looking the father and say, wow, what did I do? He got on his sense and he started examining himself. Actually, this is very important. Like a month ago, I was talking about that before having communion. I said, examine yourself. What's right? What's wrong? We are not perfect, church. We need to do that. And we had to admit. Sometimes we have to admit we are not perfect. We have problems. We are not doing everything right. When we examine ourselves, I'm not saying, oh, I'm doing this, I'm drinking, I'm using drugs, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, but sometimes we are not really in a relationship with God, the kind of relationship He wants. When you examine yourself and you find out, wow, I'm not spending the time the Lord wants me to spend with Him in His Word. Last week we were talking about knowing God, imitating God, and knowing Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Oh, maybe we are not having that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit. Examine yourself. You need to examine yourself. You need to admit if something's wrong in your life. That's not the pastor's position. That's not anybody's position to judge you. I can tell you, examine yourself. If I see something wrong, I can tell you, according to the scripture. But we have to examine ourselves. And also, I believe he recognized the goodness, the kindness of his father. I think that was a great point. When he repent, when he says, you know, he got in his hands. And it's because he recognized, because the scripture is saying, he's telling, he's thinking about, whoa, my father's servants, they have good things. They have food. They have protection. They have everything they need. They are not hungry. They are not starving. He started recognizing how good his father is. The kindness of God, the goodness of God. If you don't realize how good is your father, maybe you won't see things in your life. But when you see God and His goodness, His kindness, I said, wow, what did I do against him? Why did I do that? Why I took the money? Why I ran out of his presence? Why I was putting my eyes in the world, whatever. Why? Why I didn't hear him? Why? That's when we examine ourselves as, Lord, oh, you are so good to me. So why I did that with you, to you? This is so important. He recognized the kindness of his father. In the verse 20, it says, he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. And one good thing is, church, if somebody's really in that position of repentance, there's an action. There's always an action. Like when you say I faith with action. When you say you love somebody or love someone, so there's always an action. It's a verb. We say, oh, verb. There's an action. Action of love. And there's fruit of repentance. There's always an action. Because say, yes, I repent in my heart, you know, but I will stay here and live in my life. No. He said, I repent. And he went to his father. He put some action. Some people are saying, no, yes, sorry, God. I repent. I shouldn't do that. I made a mistake. And then they're still there. They don't change their mind. They don't change their actions. They don't change. They're still there. So the repentance, that you have to show something. So he said, you know, I believe God, my father is a good father, his kindness, his love, his mercy. And he walked back to his father. And he was pride before. Now he's humble. He's humbling himself. And the scripture talks about that. When you humble ourselves, God will lift us up. It's him. When that son was coming, and his father ran toward him, and I believe it's to love him, to show him that forgiveness, mercy, love, kindness, goodness. When he embraced that man, and when he kissed his son, he was stinking, smelling really bad. He was with pigs. But that really shows the love of God. So it doesn't matter what we did before. Doesn't matter what happened before. Doesn't matter what you did today. So you know, God is always waiting for you to come. But before you come, He's running toward you. Because you know, I can tell He loves you so much. More than everything. More than everything. He could call that son and say, okay, sit here. So come on. Did you lose all my money? What did you do? You deserve this. You deserve that. You were stupid. You thought you could do it by yourself. You can't, because I know what to do. I know. He didn't say that. That shows the love, the kind of love that He loves us. The guy was telling, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And many people, they say that, you know, no. I'm not worthy, Lord, so I'm not coming back to you. So go back to Him. You know, in the kingdom of God, it's not about if you deserve, you don't deserve. It's about faith, grace. It's about grace. It's a gift. It's by faith. So it's like that. So, you know, none of us deserved. None of us. We see this guy, you're hearing the examples, people doing, you know. We see in that house bad decisions. When you see things like that, you know, But God loves us so much. And this is what calls my attention when I read this scripture. His love, His mercy, His compassion. Yes, He has made you worthy. Don't wait for 3 more months to call, okay, maybe next month, maybe next one, maybe I don't feel worthy. This is the way the enemy wants you to feel like. I'm not worthy, so I don't deserve, so I'll stay in this position. Now, it was my fault. No, it has to be right away. God is waiting for you. He's a good father. A good father never forgets his son. Never. Ever. He's a merciful God. And kissed him. He brought him back. He brought honor to him. And I believe when he was running toward him, and he started, okay, bring the robe. Bring the sandals. Bring the ring, bring back the honor to be able to arrive in the village or in his house or whatever, and doesn't show his son like a that guy taking care of pigs, but he said he could show his son with honor again. This is my son. This is my son. We are sons of God. We are children of God. This is the way He sees us. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter what people are doing. When we repent in our hearts, when you come to Him, He has open arms for us. And that's this message. Oh, maybe it's not. Oh, it's not talking about me because I'm good, perfect person. Okay, but maybe you know someone. You know somebody that needs this message. Because they are backsliding, they are away from the Lord, and they are not coming back because they think they are not worthy to come back. But the Lord wants to see them, wants to restore their lives. That's the kind of love He's showing us. That's the kind of love. And He wants to see us with honor. Whew. The Amplified Bible, I was talking about James 4:10. Amplified Bible says, humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance. Just to let you know I was telling the truth. Action. Attitude. Okay? Attitude. Hallelujah. You are quiet today. 25 says, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of his servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. You know, this is, if you talk about this, the older son, it's more like the religious ones. He was with the father all the time. But sometimes we are so religious. We are so religious, but we are with our Father. We are obeying the rules. We are doing this, doing that, but we are not enjoying the presence of the Lord. I see this situation like people that they go to church. They read the scripture. They are good people. They don't get drunk. They don't use drugs. They don't kill anybody. They are good people. But there's something He's missing here. It's the relationship with the Father. He's missing the benefits of being with the Father. Church, we live our lives with the Father in His house. We have all the benefits. If you want to celebrate with your friends, celebrate with your friends. If you want to do something, then do it. Of course, if it's according to the Father's rules. But what I don't like to see, because I was like that. I was in the church, But I wasn't celebrating. I wasn't building up a relationship with God. I didn't know God. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. So church was boring. Church wasn't really good because, you know, no, I'm out. Was just no, 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 no. You go to hell. If you hang out with your friends and you come after 10, you go to hell. If you drink a beer, you go to hell. If you lie for an accident, and you go to hell. If you do this, you go to hell. I grew up like that. First time I had beer, or I got a little bit, not good drunk, but bad one, university. The next day, I was begging the Lord for salvation. Because I thought I'll go to hell now. Because I made a mistake. That fear was because I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. Because if I had a relationship with the Lord, doesn't matter if I was in my house, my parents' house, if I was in university, or was whatever I was, I shouldn't do that. First of all, you do that and you feel like you don't go to hell. Good. No, no. With relationship with the Lord, I won't do things like that anymore. That's the problem. People think, I have a relationship with God. There's grace. Woohoo! So I can drink. I can do whatever I want. I can get my father's money. I can spend in the world. I can do whatever I want because there's grace and good. I have eternal life with God. But no, relationship with God is to avoid that situation. Relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, is to say, okay, I can do, I could do whatever I want, but I want. I won't do it because I belong to God. I will follow Him. I don't want to mess it up anything. Instead of doing and repent and say, Lord, forgive me, I won't do it. And there's pleasure. There's happiness. There's joy. Not doing things that is bad things. It's good, church. But this guy was a religious guy. He was living with his father. But he didn't have a relationship with his father. And he got angry. Can you imagine? We see all the time the love of God, the love of the Father. Say, no, it doesn't matter if you're sinking or no, I love you. I'll kiss you. I'll bring you back. Bring honor. Okay, now you are with me. Protection, everything you need. Everything you need. And his brother said, you know, I'm angry. So that this father was so good. You know, can you see this father? He was so good. He loved the younger one. Even he made so many mistakes. He forgave him. But this one, I never really thought about this. He left. They were celebrating inside of the house. And he left the house, the celebration. Just to meet the other guy, the other son. That's love, church. He left those guys celebrating. He left that celebration was the best day of his life. His son was coming back. He left that celebration because he didn't want to lose the other one. He was saying, no, he was begging him, hey, come on in. Come on in. He is back. He was dead. Now he's alive. Come in. Enjoy the celebration. You know? He never did things like that to me. So no, everything I have belongs to you. He was bringing that guy to also have a relationship with him again. Or again, or like never before. Because, you know, I'll tell you something. There's in God's heart, it has completely joy when he sees the Gentiles and the Jews coming to his house. He's enjoying, he's celebrating because us, the Gentiles, because us, he's re-celebrating. There's a celebration because we are with him. We are in his house. We belong to him. We repent. We have repentance in our hearts. We love the Lord. We saw his goodness and his faithfulness. And we belong to him. We are there. He's happy. He's celebrating. But the same way he loved us, he loved his people. I pray for Israel. We are partnership with the ministry in Israel. Pray for them. The Lord left the house just to bring that religious guy back to have a relationship with, to bring him inside. Completely happiness, completely joy in God's heart is when everybody comes together. So religious is not a good thing. Religion is not a good thing. Relationship is a good thing. This story, if you read again, is all it's like talking about relationship. When the guy broke his relationship with God, he fell. He fell. When he restored his relationship with God, his Father, he was again in God's arms. The other one was inside of the temples and the church and then religious guy. So, and the Father also invited him to come and have relationship. Because it's not about religion, it's about relationship, church. Relationship. When you have a relationship with the Lord, we can still make mistakes, but we are fixing, we are getting better every day. We are getting better every day because of relationship with Him. One thing I was, in the beginning, I'll finish with this. In the beginning, you know, Adam and Eve, they had a perfect relationship with God. God was coming every day, end of the day, and talking and having a relationship and take, hey, Adam, I want you to do this, to do that. And Adam was like, relationship in the God's house. Relationship. And was broken because of the sin. But the end, when John is talking about in Revelation 20 something, 20, 22, I don't remember, I can send you later. But when John had that vision, and he said, oh, he saw the streets of gold, he saw the pearls, the doors, the gems, and the everything he saw. And he said something important. He said, I don't see temples. I don't see temples. I actually didn't see anything. I don't see light. The only light was God's light. Jesus Christ is the light. He said, I cannot see temples. He was, his mind, he said, okay, in heaven, we're going to have temples, and you're going to go. No. He just saw the presence of God. There, he was 24/7 in relationship with God. Religion says we have to go to church Sunday to have relationship with God. No, we every day we can have relationship with God because now we don't see temples anymore. The temple is here inside of us. The same way we started with Adam and Eve, the perfect relationship with God, is the same way we're going to finish. No temples, just the presence of Almighty God. The light of Jesus Christ shining 24/7. This is the way we're going to finish. So Lord, church, relationship with the Lord is the greatest decision we have made in our lives. We cannot do anything without Him. Don't think we can do. We cannot do anything without His presence, without His wisdom, without His power. Anything. Out of His presence, dead. In His presence, we have life. An abundance of life. So makes no sense. Makes no sense. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. The world cannot give you anything good. Anything. Just like few moments of joy. And it's not the real joy. It's not the same joy God gives us. It's not the same peace God gives us. It's not the same prosperity we have in Him. It's not the same protection we have in Him. In His presence, we have fullness of joy. Amen?